Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. Back in my little hole here. Just the way it is this week again. We haven't gotten moved yet, and still one thing after another. We had some problems. Homeland Security. Now, what in the world do they have to do with buying a piece of property? Well, you would figure that anything they have to do with something, that it's going to make a mess, and it did. And so we got through one hurdle, got another one, and so we're just waiting around here, just kind of living the trailer life type thing. So, oh well, that's the way it is. Deuteronomy, we're going to continue in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, through chapter 7, verse 11, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 26, and forgot to write it down, 1 Kings chapter 19 through chapter 22. And we're just going to go right in the Torah because there is, as far as news goes right now, I mean, did you see that Lindsay Lohan is in jail? That's news. And let's see, what else? There was something that happened last week that was just absolutely ridiculous that they spent all that time on. So I'm not even going to bother even discussing what's going on in the news. There's, you know, what's going on in Israel. Just watch, you know, they're continues to things continue to line up, and we'll just wait and see what happens on a daily basis over there. So that's where we are. So, you know, I think the most relevant thing is right here, is this is it. This is the most relevant thing to our lives, or at least it should be, on a daily basis. And it starts out this week, of course, you know, Moses is in this time period of when he gets done with the message, yeah, he goes up to the mountain and he's going to die. And so he's got a reason to do like 30 something chapters of the scripture. Well, in chapter 3, the start of this Torah portion, he starts out by once again telling us and telling the people that are sitting there, please let me go. This is his plead to the Almighty. Please let me go across and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan. What wonderful hill country and the Lebanon. But Adonai was angry with me on account of you, and he didn't listen to me. Adonai said, enough from you. Don't say another word to me about this matter. Climb to the top of Pisgah. Look out to the west, north, south, and east. Look with your eyes. But you will not go across the Jordan River. Hey, his heart comes out here once again. And he tells these people what he had done. And he says, quite honestly, and I think he has every single right to do it, the reason that I am not going across this Jordan River with you is because of your attitude. Because of what you did for all of these years. For the stiff-necked attitude, the hard-heartedness that you had, and how you just provoked me to get involved in that time and time again. And so he wants the people to understand that the reason that he will not be going across is, yes, he failed, but the reason he failed was because the people's attitudes and what they just provoked in Moses after a time. Now, but he puts it behind him, okay? He puts it behind him and he says, you can kind of hear this, you know, under the undercurrent of this, that I'm not going to go, but you are going to go. And because of that, I need to continue to give you these instructions. And the instructions are about how to live out the Torah. And we're going to be getting more into the specifics as we go through. Specifically after this week, we'll be getting more and more in the details of how he's going to summarize the Torah for the people. But an interesting thing that he brings out is, why should they be observing the Torah? You know, I mean, ask yourself the question. Why are we observing the Torah? Well, you know, it's the right thing to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a pretty good one right there. That should be on the top of the list. You know, because if you observe the Torah, you're going to get the blessings that come with the Torah, right? Okay. Those are all good answers to the question of why are we observing or pursuing the Torah? It's kind of like a multiple choice. I used to love those in school because I figured, you know, If it's multiple choice A, B, C, and D, I at least had a 25% chance of getting the answer right. If you look at a multiple choice test, you know that answer A, or you know, there's going to be two answers that are absolutely stupid. Okay, you can mark those out. But then there's two answers there that one seems plausible, possible, and then there's the right answer. Well, in this question of why are we to observe and pursue with our life the Torah, is like a multiple choice question in which all the answers are right. You know, it's like A through Z answers. All of them are right. There are so many different reasons that we should be observing the commandments He has given us. Because we love Him, because it's the right thing to do, because it's been revealed to us, all of these things. But here is a different look that Moses gives to the people. And he says, starting in verse 6, "Therefore, observe these commandments and follow them, for then all peoples will see you as having wisdom and understanding. When they hear of all these laws, they will say, 'This great nation is surely a wise and understanding people.' What great nation is there that has Elohim as close to them as Adonai, your Elohim, is whenever we call on Him?" Here is the what Moses says under the direction of Yah. Here's what Moses says is the reason that these people, the Hebrews, should be living their life according to the Torah is so that they would be a light to the nations around them. Okay, it's not because of love. Best answer, the more right answer, if you would, to his multiple choice question of why observe the Torah, has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with the love that they should be having for Elohim. It isn't because of the blessings that are going to come. It isn't because if you observe the Torah, you're going to stay in the land. It is so that you would be a light to the nations around you. Here in these verses lies the main reason that you and I should be pursuing and living this wonderful set of instructions, the mitzvot called Torah, is because in doing so, we will be a light to other people, a light to other nations, a light to our neighborhood, for those who would see and understand that there's something here that is greater than what they're living, and possibly desire to come and be a part of this family. It would be through the differences that these people would be living out that other people would come and see that Elohim, Yah, is the one true Elohim. He is the one, He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who loves them, and who desires for all people that none should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of Him through the Messiah, Yeshua. But it is through the living out of a different life that would bring these people into the family. So why should you and I be pursuing and living the Torah today? It is so that we would, through our different lifestyle, we would become a light to those around us, to draw people unto Him. Now, I can hear what you're saying already. Wait a minute. I've been living this thing for a while, and I don't see people being drawn to me. In fact, I have less friends today than when I started this whole thing. Well, that's really kind of a whole other subject. Let's get into it a little bit. Is the people would have, you know, the Hebrews here, when they entered into the land, okay, they were going to have to come to the place of these things were convicting, or a conviction in their own life. okay? And before they could just, it wasn't, they were just walking into the promised land with a list, you know, a book here and going, okay, everybody around, this is how we should live. In fact, what they had to do was they had to make it a part of their lives. And as they would make it a part of their lives, it would have an effect on others around them. And it doesn't say anywhere in here that it would be an immediate act, does it? No. It says that if, the way I read it, that if you continue to do this, not quitting somewhere in the middle, but if you continue to do these things, then you will be that light to the nations. Now, it goes on, and some of the most incredible verses of this Torah portion, I think, is down in chapter 4, verse 25. Follow along. When you have had children and grandchildren, lived a long time in the land, become corrupt, and made a carved image, a representation of something, and thus done what is evil in the sight of Adonai your Elohim, and provoked him, I call on the sky and the earth to witness against you today that you will quickly disappear from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days there, but you will be completely destroyed. Isn't that what we're reading about in the book of Kings, in 1 Kings, 2 Kings? Isn't that what we're reading about? That as the people would begin to depart from the Torah, Solomon himself departing from the Torah, the leadership multiplying wives and horses and all of these things, departing from the Torah, that it was his word that the people would have to be taken from the land. It's prophesied right there. Adonai will scatter you among the peoples and among the nations to which Adonai will lead you away. You will be left few in number. Okay, here we are. I mean, this is fascinating to me, folks. That when we come to the place of seeing our life, you want something that will increase in your faith and encourage you this week? He knows where we're at. This is like opening the scripture and finding your name and phone number, your name and address. It's just like opening, and here you are, you know, prophesied about that there you will serve gods which are the product of human hands. Let's see, Easter and Christmas. Made of wood, Christmas tree, stone. Maybe it should have been chocolate. I don't know. You know, Easter buddies. Which can't see, hear, eat, or smell. However, from there you will seek Adonai your Elohim. And you will find him when you search after him with all your heart and being. Is that what we're doing? Is this the day that we are living? I mean, forget about the earthquakes and the famines and Lindsay Lohan in jail. All right? Forget about all the things that are going on around us like that. It doesn't matter about the peace process and the non-peace process and the roadmap to destruction and all of these things. We don't need all of that to show us the days that we're living in, because it's right here that it says, from there you will begin to seek Adonai your Elohim. From Oklahoma, from Belgium, from New Zealand, from South Africa, from all over the United States, all over the world, the places that he has led us to in the diaspora. One day something will happen, and we will begin to seek him. And we will find him when we search for him with all our heart and being. In your distress, when all these things have come upon you, in the end of time, the last days, you will return to Adonai your Elohim and listen to what he says. What does he say? Live according to the instructions of the Torah. For Adonai your Elohim is a merciful God. He will not fail you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he swore to them. Never let us forget this fact, that the reason that we are here is not because we were so smart. I mean, it says, you will seek him and find him when you search for him with all your heart and your soul, your being. Folks, he's not lost, okay? It's not that he has ever been lost, that he needed to be found. I love the, you know, the old terms we used to use. I found Messiah. Like he was lost? You know, he's not lost. We're the ones that are out there wandering around all over the place. And he just, all of a sudden, out of his mercy, out of his grace, and because of the covenant that he made with our ancestors, back to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Moses, to Abraham, then Moses. It's because of the covenant that he made with them that today you and I are opening up this word and no longer starting in the book of John. It is because of the covenant that we were starting in Genesis. Kind of amazing when you think about it, that you and I are living literally in prophetic times. And I don't need an earthquake, 6.7 earthquake in Alaska last week, to show me that I'm in prophetic times. All I have to do is drive up to the fast food restaurant or go to a restaurant somewhere and order a meal and go, you know, I don't eat the pork, I don't eat the shrimp. That very act, though it seems almost insignificant to most people, that very act is right here, prophesied. The fact that you and I are preparing for Shabbat, as you're listening to this, you're either preparing for, maybe you're already into Shabbat, as I'm recording, it's a few days prior to, but Shabbat's coming. The very fact that you and I are preparing for that day, it's right there. It's right there in the scriptures that I just read. It is that we are coming to the place of the last, of the last, of the last, the end times. And how much more today than even a couple of years ago should we be seeking his commandments to live them out? And it will be through here that Moses comes back and he says, okay, first thing we need to do before you go over, now I've kind of pled the case to you, I've told you why I'm not going. Now, let's begin the recap. He's taken basically four chapters for an introduction. And now he's going to come to his first point, which will actually be 10 points, which will be the Ten Commandments. And he's going to take them back to literally the heart of the Torah first, to give them the summary. For in the Ten Commandments is a summary of all the commandments. In fact, in the Ten Commandments is literally a summary of everything. And it will begin with verse 6. Now, here's an assignment. You might want to even do this right now, okay? In a moment, pause the video. Before you read it, okay, close the book. Okay, close it up. Don't look at it. Now, without looking, if you need to pause the video, that's fine. Without looking at the scripture, can you name You don't have to give the whole thing. But can you name the Ten Commandments? Can you give a basic, abbreviated summary of the Ten Commandments? If somebody asks you, what are the Ten Commandments, the ten words, can you give all ten of them? You know, folks, if you can't recite the basic heart of the Torah, the basic heart of the Scripture, something's wrong. What if somebody takes this thing from you? What if you don't have a Scripture? We just talked about this last week in a home meeting I attended. What if you don't have a Scripture? Can you recite the Ten Commandments? I hope so. It's anybody that's been a believer anytime should be able to do that. Okay. Now, with that, let's go back and look through them. Okay. First of all, I am Adonai, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, where you lived as slaves. Doesn't really look like a commandment, does it? Well, it's really not a commandment. It's a proclamation. The first, quote-unquote, commandment is actually a proclamation. And it is through the first commandment that everything else flows. For see, without this first commandment, that he is Adonai, your Elohim, nothing else really matters. Okay. Here's where people get a little bit confused. You can live nine of the commandments and be a good person. All right? People will say, well, you know, I mean, I'm a good person. I don't take the name of Adonai in vain. I honor my mother and father. I don't murder or commit adultery or steal or covet or any of those things. I'm a good person. But you can be a good person living even Shabbat, all nine of the commandments, the last nine. But if you don't have the first one in your life, that he is Adonai, your Elohim, then there is no real benefit to living the other nine. At least eternally, there's no benefit. You know, if you observe the Shabbat, it doesn't matter if you know him or not. You're going to have some benefits of observing the Shabbat. It doesn't matter if you know him or not. If you don't murder, okay, you're going to live the benefits of staying out of jail. It does not affect, though, your eternal position in life. The one that affects our eternal position is he Adonai Elohim? Is he the Lord of our lives, the Adonai of our lives? If he is, then everything else just kind of flows. If he is not, then you can live the other nine, but eternally, it is not going to make really a difference in your life. Now, quickly we go through them. I am Adonai, your Elohim. You're not to have any gods with a small g before me. We're not to make carved images. Okay, this doesn't mean that you can't have a picture on your mantle or something like that. To me, I mean, if that's your conviction, that's fine. To me, the basic part of the commandment is here. You're not to bow down to them, and you're not to serve them. Okay, we're not to have idols around around us. Now, the same thing can hold true, is that some people have a carved image in their mind of who he is. It's not that, you know, you don't have to, you know, this is my God, this little piece of paper, this is my image of him, right? And he kind of molds to how I desire him to mold to. Okay, we say that's stupid. But at the same time, people have images in their mind of who he is. I heard a commentator the other day that said, well, these talk show hosts, it says, well, you know, somebody had said that Jesus was black. He said, I don't know if he was black or white or whatever he was. It doesn't matter. You know, folks, he was Jewish, and he still is. The point is, people can have all kinds of carved images in their mind of who Elohim is. If the carved image that we have in our mind does not equal out and line up to what is in this book, then we have broken the second commandment. You're not to misuse his name. I think that's pretty obvious. We're not to, we are to observe the Shabbat. That's one I've talked about I don't know how many times. We're to honor our mother and our father. We're to put our parents in a place of priority in our life. Now, mother and dad, be honorable. Okay, the other side of this thing, you've heard me talk about if you've been around for a while. But we are to honor our father and our mother. How can we do that? Well, it just kind of, I guess that's something that's in each person's life. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. And do not covet. A couple days ago, somebody stopped by. We were talking, and they said the definition of jealousy and envy. Jealousy is I desire what you have. Envy is when I desire it to the point that I don't want you to even have it. You know, and coveting is when we take it to a whole nother level. And not only do I not want you to have it, but I want to take it from you so that it is mine. Okay? It goes to a whole new level there. So these are the things that we are not to do. We are to do. We are not to do. Okay? The heart of the Torah is right here in these verses. Now, I want to go over, spend the rest of the time that we have on a verse that if you've been around the Hebrew Roots movement at all, you've heard this, and let's go over to chapter 6, verse 4, and we quote, we say the Shema, and in many congregations, as well as ours too, we say the Shema as sometime in our service, and it's something that we should actually be reciting on a daily basis. And it goes this way, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malkuto, Leolam Vayed. Now, is that really the Shema? No. The Shema is the first part. Why am I bringing this up? Because there are different variations. There's different additions. I know there's a blessing of the Messiah that some have placed into the Shema. We need to go back to what the Scripture says. And maybe this is some of you are going to say this is irrelevant. But I think maybe there's others that we'll get through to here. Because maybe, you know, in the end, I find that what's some of the things that I deal with like this, many of you are dealing with, that it kind of bothers me to hear somebody recite the Shema. And when we say, you know, if I walk into a congregation and I say, we're going to together recite the Shema, the people just all of a sudden start reciting what they've learned with the additions and everything. And then if you try to correct them, they say all kinds of manners of things. The basis of the Shema is this. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, Adonai, our God, Adonai is one. That is the Shema. Anything beyond that may not be wrong. Blessed be his name, his glorious kingdom forever and ever. Amen. That's not wrong. But understand this. It is not the Shema. It is something that has been added on to the Shema. Okay? Like I said, there's nothing really wrong in the addition. What is wrong is that we have people today that actually think that the words, you know, when we go on and we say, blessed be his name, his glorious kingdom forever and ever, they actually think that's in the scripture because they haven't gone back and looked to see what is the basic words of the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. This scripture is so important, and it's so important today for our lives, because within this scripture is some incredible truth. Some incredible truth that goes over back to what we were talking about earlier, that he will bring us out of there, of the land which he has scattered us to. He will bring us, first of all, bring our heart back to him, as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. And then after he has brought our heart back to him, we'll then take our body back to where he will be in the end in Jerusalem. The confusion, lies, and one of the things that he is taking us out of in the last part of this verse, it causes confusion in many people's lives. Adonai, Yah, however you want to place this in, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh would be the correct word here. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is one. Okay? Now, Christianity has taught and teaches today the Trinity. Many Messianics still today teach a form of the Trinity. And I talked about this a couple of months ago on a message called Our Father's Inherited Lies. It is not possible to get the current Christian doctrine of three gods through Scripture. You know, we used to sing the song in the Baptist church, the doxology. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. There is no way possible to get God in three persons in that verse, folks. In the verse of the Shema, where it says, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is one. One cannot be three. I wasn't that good in math, but one cannot be three. It's just simply truth. The other side of this is that people will take the person of Yeshua and throw him out to where, well, if Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is one, then the Messiah has to be a separate person and is not Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Either ditch is a ditch. Now, I want to give you my interpretation of this, and I'm going to have, I'm sure, some people that get a little upset because people always do when we get into things like this. But I want to give you my interpretation of how we can look at the Father, the Son, Yeshua, and his Spirit, and still place them within the scriptures of Adonai Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is one. And I want to do this, and many of you have heard this before, and it's for those, you know, that have never, I'm going back to some basics, just like Moses was doing. I'm going back to some basics right here for just a few minutes, just because there's a number of people out there that are still, I still receive emails on this, that are still confused over the Trinity or over the they're having a problem with, is Yeshua the Messiah? If he is the Messiah, is he Yudev Avhe or is he not? Okay? And I want to take you back to something that happened to me prior to coming to faith in Messiah. It happened years ago. And it was in Alaska. I've told this story before, and I know some of you have heard this, but bear with me through this. I think some of you may have not remembered the story, others have never heard it before. Okay, I believe it's very, very important to get this principle of what the Shema is saying to us. We were in Alaska years ago. We were up in Valdez. We were camping. And it was during an extremely rainy period of time. Valdez is known for rain to begin with, but it was just flooding. In fact, we got trapped in one place because the bridges had washed out. Well, we got this camping site that night in just north of Valdez. And we set up our tents. This is back in the days of tents, okay? And we set up our tents and everything. It's raining, it's pouring. We got a little bit of a break in the rain. Well, hey, I'm the old camper, you know. I mean, I want to have a fire. We're at a campsite. Let's have a fire. Well, nobody in the whole campsite. There's a number of people there. Nobody can get a fire going, I guess. Nobody was trying. Well, you know, go back to a little Boy Scout stuff. And if you build one right, you can build it out of wet wood even. So I get back to a little Boy Scout training there, and I got a fire going. Well, in that day, old-fashioned campsites, you know, people would walk around, you know, and so they'd walk around, and we had a campfire, so some people were just kind of walking up the little path there, and, hi, how you doing? We'd talk a few minutes, you know, some would leave. Well, one guy comes walking up, and he's got a three-piece suit on, and I looked at him and said, that's a preacher. I mean, only a preacher is going to be at a campsite in Valdez, Alaska with a three-piece suit on. In fact, especially one that probably matched the carpet in his church. It was this kind of a yellowish, brownish three-piece suit with a brown tie. And, of course, he introduces himself, I'm Pastor So-and-so. Oh, yeah, of course you are. I knew that already. Just didn't know the name, you know. So he comes up, we're talking, a really nice guy, we're talking. He says, wait right here, I'll be right back. Wait here, this is my campsite, I'm not going anywhere. So he goes away and he comes back and he has this 3-pound coffee can. And just walks up with this coffee can and he opens the top one. He says, look at this. He says, we went to the glacier today. He says, we went to that, you know, that glacier over there. I can't remember which glacier it was. He said, we went to the glacier and look, I brought the glacier back. And I'm going, And I looked in the can. And he said, you know, he's going, I brought the glacier. He says, I'm going to take this back to my congregation in Seattle and show them the glacier. Here's the glacier. Well, let me ask you. He had a hunk of the glacier, which actually was now water, okay? But let me ask you a question. Did he have the glacier in the can? Some are saying no, some are saying yes. Truth is, yes, he did have the glacier, or at least a representation of every particle, every element, every mineral, everything that was in the glacier, he had in the can. He had a representation that he could hold in his hand. Because if he had tried to bring the whole glacier back, it would have destroyed him. Okay? Now, very simple. Here is Echad. The glacier, that huge glacier, he took a piece of it that he could hold, that he could show to others. And everything that glacier was in that water in that can. And he could take it and he could allow others to hold it. Now, if he'd have taken that glacier, or that can, that what was in there, and he had thrown it at me, it would have been all over me. Would it have been a different person? Was it a different glacier? No. See, in that story that I got for that illustration from so many years ago is the truth of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Echad, the Almighty. And this is just an incredible, incredible thought. The Almighty, in the plan of history, desired to reveal himself unto us. But he couldn't reveal all that he is, because it would be kind of like that glacier. Just the very thought of it would crush us. So he took a piece of himself that contained everything that he is. A piece that was just large enough that you and I could hold it. That you and I could examine it. That you and I could look upon. We could touch. We could feel. We could experience. And he placed all that he is within that one called Messiah, Yeshua. I think that's kind of what the book of John, chapter 1, is talking about. That the Word, the Torah, the fullness, the essence, everything that Yud Heh Vav Heh is, became flesh and walked among us, and we beheld his glory. But yet that wasn't enough. For he did not desire that we would just be able to reach out and touch him. But he desired that he would be able to be in us. See, if I'd have taken that 3-pound coffee can and I'd have said, you know, I'd like to taste that. And I'd have taken that can and taken it to my lips and taken a big swallow of it. Everything, would I have ingested the whole glacier? In a way. Because everything that was in the glacier would now be in me, right? Here's the gospel, folks. That the Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be He, desired to reveal Himself to us. And the way He did so is He took a part of Himself, placed it upon this earth so that we could behold Him, the fullness of Yud Heh Vav Heh. And now He takes Himself, all of Himself, and offers Himself for us to not just hold, not just to have out here, but to have within us. That, to me, is the beauty of "Hear, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." And His desire, the desire of Yud Heh Vav Heh, is to live in each of us. See, I've harped on this many, many times in 7 years, and specifically in the last few months and weeks. It is not, and maybe I'm just repeating myself over and over again, but this is kind of the recap that we're coming to the end of this Torah cycle, and I just want you to get this. It is not enough. It is not His desire for us just to simply read through this book year after year after year. It is His desire for these words to get inside of us, to be a part of us, to be a part of our lives, to the place that we live them out and others can look upon us and say, what a great people is there that has this Yud Heh Vav Heh as close to them as we are, so that we would become the light that He has called us to be. That's the message. That's the message. Being a different people, infused with Him and with His instructions and His glory and His Spirit, the part of Himself that He can place within us so that we can be effective in showing His love to other people. That's it. All right. Well, with that, I got to run. Got some things happening today and trying to work on. Appreciate your prayers these days. Your support. Still, life is just strange at the moment. It continues to be. And I don't know that we'll, as I wrote to somebody this morning, I don't know if I'll ever know the word normal again. Of course, I don't know if I ever knew the word normal in the first place. Well, with that, Shavuot Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, and prosperous week. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next week.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Sem lecha shalom.